From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, alien abductions with special researcher Yvonne Smith. And she has an incredible story to tell about a multiple witness case. Thank you, New York. Number one on WABC, Los Angeles. Number one on KFI, and the latest ratings just out. Thank you. Well, news of the day, a high school student has died as a result of a treatment of resistant staph infection, prompting Virginia officials to shut down 21 schools to keep the illness from spreading. Aston Bonds, a 17-year-old, a senior at the Stoughton River High School in Bedford, Virginia, died after being hospitalized for a week with the infection. Staph infections, including the serious MRSA strain, have spread through schools nationwide in recent weeks, according to health and education officials. The strain of staph bacteria does not respond to penicillin and related antibiotics, but can be treated with some other drugs. The infection can be spread by skin-to-skin contact or sharing an item used by an infected person, particularly one with an open wound. And more than 90,000 Americans get potentially deadly infections each year from any drug-resistant staph superbug, as they call it, according to the government, in its very first overall estimate of invasive disease caused by the germ. Deaths tied to these infections may exceed those caused by AIDS. And one public health expert commenting on the new study says the report shows just how far one form of the staph germ is spread beyond its traditional hospital setting, where so many people have come down with this. So much is this program and so widespread in the fight against these diseases. Tomorrow we will devote the program to these special germs and what we can do about it. Verizon Communications says it has provided federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies tens of thousands of communication and business records relating to you based on emergency requests without a court order or administrative subpoena. That is, if you have your service with Verizon. In October, in a letter to members of the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, a senior Verizon official says that from 2005 through this September, there were 63,700 such requests, and of those, 720 came from federal authorities. The company refused to discuss the content of those requests outside the several examples provided in the initial letter. Democratic strategist and CNN analyst James Carville tossed out an idea during a panel discussion on politics at CNN's America's Votes 2008 breakfast. The chief architect of Bill Clinton's successful 1992 presidential run predicted that former Florida Governor Jeb Bush will be the Republican nominee in 2008. Jeb is a younger brother of President Bush. Now, Carville just said this. Back in November of 2005, intuitive remote viewer Sean David Morton said the same thing. Sean, before we go to the calls, let's take a look at the 2008 presidential election. Everybody likes to know who they think might run. Okay. Let's get your takes on the Democratic side. Who do you see?
I'll stick with everything that I said back in 1997. And in 97, I said the 2008 election would be Hillary Clinton, and that she would run against Jeb Bush, governor of Florida. And even though Bush made an announcement saying that, well, I'm not going to run for president of the United States.
But then he kind of tempered it.
Exactly. He said, but never say never, is what
right.
he said. So I thought it was interesting that he had to, because nobody really thought of him running for president until he came out and said, well, I'm not going to run for president, but never say never.
We're going to keep our eyes on this prediction of Sean David Morton. I mean, he may be right. Russian leader Vladimir Putin met his Iranian counterpart and warned us not to use a former Soviet republic to stage an attack on Iran. He also said nations shouldn't pursue oil pipeline projects in the area if they weren't backed by the regional powers. At a summit of the five nations that border the inland Caspian Sea, Putin said that none of the nation's territory should be used by any outside countries for use of military force against any nation in the region. It was a clear reference to a long-standing rumor that the United States was planning to use Azerbaijan, a former Soviet republic, as a staging ground for any possible military action against Iran. Putin, whose trip to Tehran is the first by a Kremlin leader since World War II, warned that energy pipeline projects crossing the Caspian could only be implemented if all five nations that border the Caspian support them. Now, here's a story on the coasttocoastam.com website. It's the feature story about the United States and British militaries possibly deploying flying saucers. Researchers in England have developed their own flying saucer, and it might be going to work for the U.S. and British militaries. The project is called GFS. It's an unmanned aerial vehicle, can soar high in the air, hover, bank, fly over any terrain, making it ideal for military surveillance. Kind of makes those pictures we've been showing you on the coasttocoastam.com website over the past few months, taken by Chad from his cell phone. Maybe they are real, It uses an aerodynamic principle known as the Coanda effect. It takes off vertically from any solid surface. The propeller mounted atop the two-foot-wide aircraft pushes air down over the saucer-shaped body, creating a broad cone of thrust extending outward. It's amazing, isn't it? In Scranton, Pennsylvania, a woman who shouted profanities at her overflowing toilet within earshot of a neighbor has been cited for disorderly conduct. She could face up to 90 days in jail, a fine up to $300. In a moment, Jerry Corsi joins us. We're going to get his take on Putin's basic aggressive stance against us, saying to stay away from Iran. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Jerry Corsi, Ph.D., of course, author of Atomic Iran, Black Gold Stranglehold, Minutemen, The Battle to Secure America's Borders, also the best-selling book, of course, that we just released, Jerry Corsi. The name of it is?
The Late Great USA, George. The
Absolutely.
Coming merger with Mexico and Canada.
And it is happening, isn't it?
It is happening, and now that we've gotten Vincente Fox on the Larry King Show and promoting his book, to admit that there's a plan that he and George Bush had to extend the trade agreements all the way down to the tip of South America and create a regional currency, I don't think it can be doubted anymore, George.
I think not. Okay, this situation with Vladimir Putin. He's in Iran. He's starting to get tough. He hasn't threatened us, but he darn came close to it today, Jerry. What's your take on it?
Well, it's a very aggressive visit by Putin to meet at this time. It's the first time since 1943, during World War II, that a Soviet leader has visited Tehran. And Putin is clearly indicating that he's in an alliance right now with Iran, and that an attack on Iran is going to represent a threat to the, you know, former Soviet Union, to Russia, and Putin's not going to sit back and take it easily. And I've been saying, George, for 2 years, a war is coming. And it's the worst possible solution to the problem of Iran pursuing nuclear weapons, but I see it getting closer now every day.
You don't see the Russians jumping in, or do you?
Well, I see the Russians jumping in if we or Israel attack. I mean, you've now got Turkey poised at the border, and Turkey is very concerned about the Kurds, the ethnic group in northern Iraq. I think it's, 50-50. You could see a military incursion by Turkey into Iraq. The Iranians also have a Kurdish minority in northern Iran. They're just not going to sit by and, watch Turkey attack the Kurds and not get involved. I think it's very likely that Iran and Turkey have already discussed an alliance going together against the Kurds. We're right on the verge of an expanding war in Iraq going on into Iran. And Putin's visit just heightens the tension, indicating that, the ex-Soviet Union, Russia, is now going to continue what the Soviet Union did in building this nuclear reactor at Bashar. And Russia continues to back their ally, Iran, and plans to build pipelines for natural gas and oil coming through Iran into ultimately India and the southeastern part of Asia. And Russia has very important strategic interests with Iran. that they're just not going to step aside from.
How much is Dick Cheney behind all this?
Well, I've been very concerned about Dick Cheney because I think that we're at the last stages of Condi Rice trying to negotiate a settlement. And now the pressure is coming intense on Israel to give up even sections of Jerusalem. Condi Rice is on a very short lease from the White House. I think George Bush is kind of in a quandary. He's tried negotiation with Iran. It's not worked. Dick Cheney's been chomping at the bit. You've had Cheney's advisors being advising war and military options, which I continue to think would be disaster, and I hope they don't get taken. We have a very strong military presence. We've had three carriers rotating in and out of the Persian Gulf. And, you know, we can't afford to lose Turkey. If Turkey's one of our major staging areas for Iraq, if Turkey gets involved into the war against the Kurds, it's going to hurt the U.S. military effort even in Iraq. We're right on the verge of a very much more complex and difficult situation, which any day we could wake up and the war could be expanded.
Would the Russians be treacherous enough to give some kind of radiological bomb or material to al-Qaeda types so they can do something to us?
I think if Russia feels their strategic interests are threatened in the Caspian Sea area, Russia could supply radiological materials, and our ports are still wide open. Al-Qaeda has been involved in working with the criminal gangs, MS-13. They've been involved in working with the drug lords. We're still getting thousands of Middle Easterners coming across the border, the wide-open border with Mexico. We've had reports of al-Qaeda agents coming in and changing their names to Spanish names to blend in across the border. The wide-open borders, plus the pressure we're having right now in Iraq, the military threats that the Bush administration keeps issuing to Iran, all of these are signals, George, that any day we could have an expanded war.
Well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen before the 2008 election, don't you think?
Yes, I do, because I don't think George Bush is prepared to, you know, leave office and have the Iran problem pass on to the next administration. I think he's given a certain amount of time to negotiations, and after that, he's looking for any excuse, George W. Bush is, to go to war. That's why the military presence is so ratcheted up. I mean, the one option we should have pursued, we never did, was supporting the Iranian freedom fighters in Iran around the world. We could have had a Ukraine solution here where this Ahmadinejad regime was changed from within. But that's the one solution George Bush never gave serious attention to, and it's a historical mistake that we neglected to pursue that option.
Now, on another issue too, Jerry, and we're going to keep you for phone calls, all right?
Yes.
On another issue, it appears that we're getting strangled financially in the world markets as well, almost as if they want to see a collapse of the dollar.
Well, George, that's coming. I mean, we've now allowed China these unfair trade agreements, one-sided to China. China's got $1.3 trillion in foreign exchange reserves, 80% of it in dollars. The world is moving away from the dollar with the dollar weakening in value. We've right now got a serious situation. You know, Russia and China are aligned in the Shanghai Cooperation League. Iran has been invited to join that. If we go to war with Iran, China can support Russia just by selling dollars. The oil closed today at $88 a barrel. I mean, the damage here to the American economy and the likelihood that we're entering into a recession is very great, and the dollar has never been historically weaker to the euro than it is today. And these are policies I think we've engineered since Greenspan in an idea that the dollar weakening would go into a regional North American currency, but we're getting caught very short. We're getting caught with the Federal Reserve in a dilemma. If the Federal Reserve raises rates to save the dollar, we'll go into a recession. If the Federal Reserve continues to lower or keep rates low, has another rate decrease to, you know, give the stock market what they want, more credit, the dollar is going to continue to tank. The dollar lost again today on world currency markets. It's probably going to lose tomorrow. And the situation with China standing at the verge saying, we've got you know, $800 billion in dollar assets and we could sell them any day is a sword of Damocles hanging over our heads that I don't think the American people are fully aware of.
Did you see where China's government-owned petro company has now passed GE as the world's second-largest corporation, and it's right on the heels now of Exxon? I never thought I'd see that.
I saw that, and also there's reports circulating out of Europe today that the Europeans are already beginning to withdraw dollar investments. I think the August reports of foreign investment in the United States, which are going to come out here in the next few days, are going to show that foreign investment in the United States is decreasing as foreign investors continue to worry the dollar is weakening and our interest rates are too low. The European central banks have held constant their interest rates at a higher level, and the world is quickly, as Alan Greenspan's had to admit, moving to the euro as a substitute currency for the dollar in foreign exchange reserves.
Jerry, let's pop back to Iran for just a moment. I'm not sure militarily we can do what we're doing in Iraq and also continue with an Iranian front as well. However, there's no question we got enough armament, missiles to lob some, you know, 1,200 targets that they plan to hit if they go in there. The question is, why haven't we done anything yet? Why do we seem to be waiting? Is it because we've wanted to go in and there's something else afoot here?
I think in part, George, is because President Bush is in such a weakened political condition. He's already under severe attack in the United States over Iraq. He's going to have a reason to go into Iran. And I think even having these three carriers and running exercises in the Persian Gulf, it's been like poking Iran like a bear in the face with a stick. I think George Bush has been trying to get an excuse. There's no excuse. There's no reason. I mean, what are we going to do, make up weapons of mass destruction again and try to have an excuse? The American people aren't going to buy it. And so the problem is that as this condition, the situation with Iran continues to get more intense, with Turkey saying that they may go against the Kurds, with George Bush's term running out, every day the likelihood, I continue to fear I'm going to wake up and see that we're at war with Iran. And the idea that we can just target 1,200 targets and go in and wipe them out with an air attack and it'll be all simple and we'll win, that's fantasy land. It's going to be a very difficult war. The Iranian people are going to unite. The Ahmadinejad regimes will be twice as difficult to deal with.
Especially because we have strong support from many of the Iranian people right now, don't we?
Yes, we do, George, but it's on the basis that the United States is not at war with Iran. I mean,
right.
Even the freedom fighters who want change in their own government are going to be, you know, motivated by nationalistic impulses if we attack Iran. And that's around the world. I mean, they say we've had, you know, 2 years at least, maybe the entire second term of the Bush administration, where I've been begging. I walked 200 miles with the Iranian freedom fighters, broadcasting into Iran, talking to the administration, say, you know, you can overturn the Ahmadinejad regime by sending fax machines and cell phones and satellite dishes into Iran. Let the people of Iran change their own government. We don't have to send missiles and bombs. But the Bush administration's had very limited thinking. They think either they have to go to war or they have to negotiate with the Europeans. And the Europeans weren't going to get us a solution. It was a bad strategy to begin with. We're at stalemate, the same place we were in 2004. And we've made no progress whatsoever. The time, though, the clock keeps getting running out. The time is running out.
Do you know you know about how perceptive I am on certain things?
And yes, I do, Joel.
I'm beginning to feel right now, and I wonder if we need to keep the heat up on just information about Iraq, because I'm beginning to feel as if people are forgetting what's going on over there.
Well, George, when you get these feelings, I get very concerned, because your instincts and intuitions are very good. And I'm glad you're doing the segment tonight about this whole issue, because, you know, we've got troops in Iraq that are right now in fixed encampments. If Iran enters, even a conventional attack against our troops could wipe out thousands of troops. we should not be thinking of an expanded war with Iran. We're having a hard enough time dealing with Iraq, and with Turkey threatening to come into the war against the Kurds, we've got more than we can handle just dealing with Iraq right now. But I think the Bush administration has not given up the idea of attacking Iran, and I think every day, every week, every month, that the Bush administration gets closer to going out of office, the attack against Iran increases in likelihood.
Okay, let's get some phone calls with you, Jerry, when we come right back. Jerry Corsi, our guest, will take phone calls from you. One of the things, beyond questions to Dr. Corsi, I'd just like to get your views, your impressions, how you feel if you think we're going into Iran. I mean, it's about time somebody started talking to you about this. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Al Bielek, Philadelphia Experiment fame, and we're helping him out when you subscribe to After Dark or renew your subscription. The October issue, by the way, I just got mine. Fantastic. Call 1-888-727-5505 to subscribe or go online, coasttocoastam.com. Oh, yes, by the way, when you do subscribe or renew, you're going to get a CD of that original Art Bell Al Bielek Philadelphia Experiment interview. So take advantage of it. Get that, and we help out Al at the same time. Back in a moment. And welcome back, Jerry Corsi, our guest, your phone calls. Jerry, by the way, what website can people go to get more information on your fine work, sir?
Well, thank you, George. I'm writing almost daily on worldnetdaily.com, where I'm a staff reporter. And I've been writing there about a variety of issues, including Iran, the late, great USA, and the open borders. And I have an article tomorrow about Ramos and Campi on the Border Patrol agents in federal prison. Congressman Rohrabacher is claiming that our terrorist prisoners at Gitmo are being better treated than our Border Patrol agents in prison for shooting after fleeing drug smugglers.
To the phones we go. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. First of all, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, George. I completely disagree with your guess that it would be catastrophic for the U.S. if Iran went into Iraq.
Okay, tell us why.
It would be completely suicidal for them because it's not the war that we're fighting in Iraq. A war with Iran would be completely different. We're not fighting an army in Iraq. An Iranian army is clearly visible and would be completely annihilated within 48 hours from the United States Air Force, tanks, and all that stuff. There's no such thing going around in Iraq, going door to door looking for a terrorist who's hiding in a mud pit. That is not the same deal with Iran. They would be annihilated completely. If you don't think this country could annihilate Iran, then you're delusional. How the hell were we ever going to take on the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact if we can't take on Iran and annihilate them?
Well, but do we have the might to do that,
Absolutely.
Vince?
We have three carrier groups in the region.
How about this? Do we have the will to do it?
Do we have the will? I think George Bush, however unpopular he is, yes, he has the will. Despite him being a terrible communicator, I agree that he's completely the opposite of what Reagan was. He's a terrible communicator, but he's doing the right things. He's just not explaining properly to the American people and ramming it down the liberals' throats what should be done. I think he's playing too many communication foul-ups, and he's a bad communicator. That's all I could say.
All right, let's get Jerry's reaction to that. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, George, I wish I had, you know, a dollar for every war entered in the history of the world that people thought was going to be easy and over quick, and that we were going to be able to win and not be a problem. Iran is a much larger country than Iraq. It's a very complex country. These nuclear facilities, there's about 1,200 of them. They're deeply embedded, many of them in population areas. If the initial attacks do not completely destroy the regime, and it's not clear the regime would be decapitated by a missile or any kind of an air attack. Russia might come to the aid of Iran. China is sitting on the sidelines with a lot of our currency, an unprecedented amount of our currency. I just don't think we can calculate, regardless of how good our military is, that any military strike is going to go as planned. I think the rule of a military attack is that all plans go awry, and it's not easy to win even a apparently simple war from the beginning. It's going to be a very difficult, complex issue, and I hope we don't do it.
East of the Rockies, you're on with Dr. Jerry Corsi on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hello.
You there? Yep, go ahead.
Hi, this is Joette. I'm calling from Charlottesville, Virginia. I have to say, quite frankly, I wholeheartedly agree with what your guest is saying, that that would be the best route to go, more covertly with the citizens of Iran. I do have two serious issues I need to raise. My son is in Iraq right now and has seen firsthand. In fact, there are rockets, mortars, other equipment being brought in from Iran that are being used against their military. That's a fact. Secondly, the thing that concerns me now, specifically today, Russia has come right out and said that the U.S. should not attack militarily in any way Iran, or, in other words, they're going to jump into it too. I don't think that we should take military options off the table, but I think the best way is to go through their own population, especially considering that they had a demonstration of 100 students very recently during a public speech of Ahmadinejad saying death to the dictator. But my last and final point, if you would be kind enough to indulge me,
sure.
I am more upset with what's happening in our own country and the division that's being created by our own Congress, specifically concerning Turkey and our main supply route through Turkey, over something that happened almost a century ago. And I think that through the media and the lack of support and divisibility that's being created by our own government is more than appalling. It's treasonous. And I would be so thrilled to see the united voice of the American people, which is the power of this country, come together and be united behind our military with more education about exactly what's happening and put Congress in its place.
She's right, Jerry, but will it ever happen?
Well, George, just a few quick points. First of all, we want to commend this woman for her son being in Iraq and reach out to all of the mothers and all of the families who have loved ones fighting overseas. It's a tremendous sacrifice.
Absolutely.
And our hearts go out to these families. Secondly, Congress is foolish to be arguing over this Armenian slaughter that occurred in 1915. Let's put that beside us, you know, behind us. Let's focus on the real issues of Turkey today. And the Kurds, let's prevent this war from expanding against the Kurds, which will just bring ethnic elements of greater complexity into the entire situation. And third, you know, she is right that there are improvised explosive devices and other weapons being brought in by Iran into Iraq. But if we attack Iran, all that's only going to intensify, and you're going to have an expanded, more complex civil war and insurgency going on in Iraq, where the Shiite forces feel empowered to go back to using weapons and supplies from Iran, and the situation even in Iraq is going to get more complex. We should remember that even a conventional missile attack in retaliation by Iran against an attack from us or Israel will kill thousands of Americans in these complexes, that we have these compounds in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we shouldn't think that we should have a simple military air attack and it'll all be over in 48 hours. There'll be serious casualties. War is always the problem in the Middle East. It's never the solution. I say that over and over again.
I keep wondering if we have the electronic pulse bomb or something like that, Jerry, to render them useless, to render the country useless. I keep thinking, do we have this?
Well, George, I think it was a good thought, but, you know, the problem is if we use something like that, we render ourselves immobile, because an electronic pulse weapon used in the Middle East would impact our own communications and computers.
There.
You're there. Now, that Iran might have a weapon like that positioned, or, you know, with the amount of sleeper cells that I'm sure are in the United States with our wide open borders, an expanded war in the Middle East could easily turn into terrorist attacks in the United States. And we should remember that we're going to just, you know, fan the flames of all of this hatred, this, you know, religious hatred that is not going to take us down a path of peace. It's going to take us down a path of expanded conflict, which could easily lead into terrorist attack in the United States.
You know, and here are the unfortunate choices, Jerry. I mean, we attack Iran and any other country that we think could be a problem for us today and in the future, which means this is never going to stop, Jerry. It's going to go on until the end of time.
Correct.
Until the apocalypse. Or we try to work out friendly, peaceful solutions with everybody. And you know what? And I'm trapped now because, you know, 9 years Navy, don't like war, strong defense. If I had my way, we'd have every weapon that we could invent. But I don't know which way to go anymore, because if we go the military route, we are committed to doing it forever, because you are absolutely right. We can never then put our gloves down, because eventually somebody on the block is going to say, we're going to get that country. They bombed Iran, or they did this, whoever it may be. We're never going to be able to rest. On the other hand, can we truly create a peaceful planet? I don't know anymore. I think human beings are destined to kill themselves.
Well, you know, George, we keep getting caught in this limited thinking that President Bush is in. And it's either we negotiate, which is like Neville Chamberlain, and we're appeasing, or we have to go to war. There's a middle path. We need to think and expand more of the methodologies. You know, we got South Africa to drop apartheid. We did not have to go to war. We had peaceful change in the Ukraine. The Soviet Union fell without a war. We've got many more creative alternatives that can be done with working with peaceful forces that want positive change around the world. Let's empower those forces. Let's get them to the table. Let's provide them with resources. Instead of thinking we have to send missiles and bombs into Iran, let's send, you know, cell phones, fax machines, satellite dishes. The Iranians around the world will communicate a message of freedom into their own country that will revolutionize Iran from within in a positive direction without us firing a single shot or us having to think we can control the direction of how change goes within Iran. There's many more alternatives other than appeasement or war. These middle routes need to be explored, and we need to develop additional methodologies for positive change in the world.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Thanks for holding.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that the thing is, as far as primitive thinking, you know, that's the leader of Iran. He is a primitive thinker, and all he understands is war right now. His society is a third world country. It's not as advanced as us. George talking about a peaceful world. Them people can't even conceive that yet, because they've been so eat up with third world living and poverty and under this dictatorship. So as far as primitive thinking, that's the leader of Iran. And that Iran has had theirs coming since the 70s with the Iran hostage crisis.
Well, George, I continue to encourage people to remember that the Persians, who are the Iranians, are brilliant people. The Persians invented the game of chess. They've been winning the international negotiations. We sell the Persian people short to underestimate them. Ahmadinejad has not gone to war with Israel. He's threatened it, but he's playing also a complex political game internally. Many of those threats are aimed at reinforcing his own power position within Iran. Ahmadinejad is irresponsible to threaten anyone, and it should not be done. But we shouldn't overreact either. And we should realize that these are highly intelligent people that can be engaged in creative discussion, especially if we're putting pressure on from within by supporting the freedom fighters and letting the Iranian people change their own country. We don't have to have all the solutions. The Iranian people will solve their own problems if we just empower them, support them, and give them the opportunity to change their own country.
Can you have a strong Middle Eastern country mired in their religious traditions and a democracy at the same time?
Well, George, you know, I'm not sure democracy is the exact model, and I disagree with George Bush on that. But I want to point out something. When I was growing up in the, you know, the 50s and 60s, and Nasser was in charge of Egypt, people said, well, Nasser will never quit against Israel. He'll fight to the death. Who ever thought that Sadat would have a change of heart and stop fighting?
But look what happened to him.
Well, but today Egypt is not at the forefront of trying to destroy Israel. Neither is Saudi Arabia, neither is Jordan.
Or Kuwait.
That cause has been taken up now by the Shiites and Ahmadinejad. And if we could manage this, if we could work creatively here, possibly 20, maybe 40 years down the road, you'd have a different configuration even with the Iranians. We should remember that, you know, Egypt has changed over the last 40 years. So has Saudi Arabian relationship to Israel. So has Jordan. Let's pursue some of these models and see what we can come out with creatively there.
You know, when I was in Los Angeles a little over a month ago, I was at a hotel on a Saturday at a party, and the top three floors were booked. You know, we're talking about the penthouse suites, right?
Yeah.
The top three floors were booked by wealthy Saudis, might even have been part of the royal family, probably was. Part of that whole situation is you've got the rich and then the poor out there, and the countries that are supporting us have all these kingdoms that are billionaires.
There's no doubt, George, that those are issues and problems, but, you know, when I walked 200 miles with the Iranian people, there were women on that march sending money back into families in Iran, so they, even the most poor, would not have to sell children into sex slavery to feed the other children. There's compassion and understanding around the world that wants positive change, including Islamic forces that want to see positive change and are willing to accept Israel. I mean, this when I was a child, you know, going back into the 50s, I never thought you would ever see any leader, even Sadat, come forward and say that he could accept Israel. These changes are going to take time, but if we define that our only option is war, we're going to push it in the wrong direction.
So you do not favor an Iranian conflict?
No, I do not. I favor doing everything possible to back away from it, to support the Iranian people, even today, who will. George, there are people in Los Angeles who are broadcasting right now into Iran. They've given their entire fortunes to this, 20, 30 years, broadcasting daily into Iran. These are the people who are being listened to in Iran. Let's send satellite dishes and receivers over to Iran so people can listen to them. This will change their own country faster than anything we could ever do. And we do not have the knowledge, the intelligence. We have the military, but the military will only destroy and crush and create greater problems. We've got to get positive forces of peaceful change supported to get this on the right track with any possibility of coming out short of apocalypse.
Is there some other motive here, Jerry, why we want to go in there?
Well, George, you can't think about the Middle East and not think about oil, and even now former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan is on the record as saying that oil was a primary motivation for going into Iraq. It's one of the reasons I wrote Black Gold Stranglehold, trying to show people that there are many scientists, the ex-Soviet Union, who think that oil is abiotic, that it's readily available, we're not running out. There all are our alternative energies that will work, including safe nuclear. France uses safe nuclear. We get limited in our thinking, George. We think that, you know, we're going to run out of energy. We need to grab all the oil. Bad idea. Or that we either have to appease the Iranians or go to war with them. Again, limited thinking. There are other alternatives.
Jerry Corsi, let's keep in touch, my friend. You can also read some of his columns on WorldNet Daily, his websites, are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I'll be back in a moment because we've got a little bit for everybody tonight. An incredible story on alien abductions with a noted researcher. We'll be back.